Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, you know, that one sounded weird.
Yeah, the voice a little bit there.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm still getting over the cold. It's still lingering. I thought it was gone when I was in Florida.
What, you come back from Florida and like insta-cold?
Yeah, that actually would track. Actually.
Yeah, pretty much. I lost it for a little bit. I mean, it's the air down there. I lose the cough a little bit. I get back that night and like immediately it was back and I'm like...
Yep.
Yeah, all right. I expect that. I knew it was coming. It is what it is. It's that season. It's that time of the year.
That's Zach Jones. I'm Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I had residual thoughts from yesterday. The presser, also the dismissal of Adams entirely. I've been holding on to that because that's kind of how we do it around here. And it's time to let some of this out. Zach, when it comes to everything from the presser yesterday, though, I was overall very impressed. Kekalainen was on with Jeremy and Joe just about an hour ago, and I think I liked a lot of what he said there as well. Again, the highlight being non-committal to the coaching staff, and it does seem like that is something where, yeah, nobody's safe right now, and that should be the case when a new general manager arrives.
I mean, yeah, you're doing this for a reason. Adams is the main character of it all, but Lindy has not been perfect in his second tenure as head coach for the Sabres. They are second to last in the East. I think that's why most of us were somewhat expecting an announcement even yesterday, although being the one chair, not too surprising. But I think that's why I was expecting another announcement. We'll see if anything comes to kind of what we also heard Kekalainen say yesterday, which is everything is under evaluation. We did see one move yesterday. Isak Rosén goes back down to Rochester. Don't know what that means. I thought somebody was going to be coming off of IR, whether that be Jason Zucker, Yuri Kulik, you know, with his situation, with the blood clots, no idea. But haven't seen anything substantial from that end yet. Yeah, I think for me, now having slept on it, you know, about 24 hours since, he does sound like someone that has the experience. That's the bare minimum. I've kind of hit with wanting, you know, guys in these head positions, whether it be head coach or general manager, just have any semblance of experience before they're hired by the Sabres. But, you know, to put it, you know, just in the simplest terms, he sounded like an adult. He sounded like he had been there, done that, knows what to say. I will tell you, I don't love not embracing the drought. I know Jeremy and Joe were talking about that. I would rather kind of have a general manager or head coach or even players acknowledge that, no, it's not our fault, but it is our responsibility to end that.
And I think Paul Hamilton did a good job of bringing the insight on that of like why the fans turn on this team very quickly.
Right. And I think there is almost, and this maybe isn't true, but it's kind of how I'm perceiving it. It is almost a defense mechanism of like to not take it all and just be like, well, no, we're going year by year. Nope. A lot of you have been here for multiple years of this drought. Even if they got in that shortened season, 2020, we'd be on a 5-6 year playoff drought, which still in the NHL is a very long time.
Which would be most of Adams' tenure.
And so, like, that's my thing is, like, no,
good
sure.
God.
All 14 years is not everybody. It realistically, physically couldn't be.
Oh my God,
but even if they got into the shortened season, they would still be on another playoff drought.
That would be Adams' entire tenure.
And it'd be his entire tenure.
Oh my God.
And so, no, I don't blame everybody for it, but I also don't love the deflecting of, you know, it's not all these guys. We just got to focus on this year. And then also to that extent as well, this is fine. Every GM's going to say this is not a Kekalainen thing. but like kind of dismissing the whole just get into the playoffs because you want to say you want to go win a cup. I get that. They're not a cup winning team. They're not even really close. They are in a position of you just got to get in. You got to get some of that toxicity out of the organization, I think, before you can move forward.
I do think there's something to not wanting to face that outside pressure and do what you need to do and set out to do. I think there's merit to that on the other side of this argument. And I'm not putting this up just for the sake of it. I did like that he said, no, we have a plan. We're going to attack it. I'm not going to sacrifice everything just to make the playoffs 1 year. And I think there's a lot of merit to that. Because I liken it to the Columbus Blue Jackets thought that they were a team that could make some noise in the postseason. And they went all in, not trading their UFAs, trading for a couple of rentals. And then what they were doing, though, was they started getting hot. They were a team that thought that they were better than where they were in the standings, made the aggressive moves. They bring in Duchesne. They bring in Ryan Dzingel. They keep Bobrovsky and Panarin knowing that those two are going to walk away from them for nothing. That was, we're better than what we are. We're going to do something about it. And if it fails, it fails. And like, we're probably out of the job. But that's Kekalainen. That's the kind of guy he is. He saw the plan and he attacked it. So that wasn't, we're going to make the playoffs just to make the playoffs. No, that was, we should be able to make some noise. And They do.
Yeah.
They sweep the President's Trophy Lightning. Are you kidding? And then they even get a couple against Boston and ultimately fall. Boston, who that year, by the way, makes the Stanley Cup final. That's a guy who knows that contextually it's different. If he thinks this team can make some noise in the Eastern Conference, he's going to do something about it accordingly because he has a track record. That's something that we haven't been able to say about a general manager in a long time. Matter of fact.
Well, since the 70s.
I was going to say, combine our ages, Zach.
Yeah.
We can get pretty close to the number. We'd shoot it over because, you know, I'm older than you.
I think it's 79 with Scotty Bowman.
Yeah. But my point remains that I do like that he's putting it into the isolation of, I have a plan. I'm looking at everything right now and how to execute the plan. Nobody's safe. But I'm not going to worry about the exterior pressure of it to make sure that this plan gets going. And if it means one more year, first of all, they're still in second to last place in the Eastern Conference. What's the harm really being done here? They fired the general manager. That typically means you've had a bad year. Or that you're likely to not make the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, that pressure's probably off right now, at least for this year. What's another year to it? I thought that this was going to be the case when Adams was retained. As for the coach, it's fascinating to me that Lindy Ruff, there's been discussion about it. Kekalainen hasn't been committal to Ruff. Ruff's contract expires at the end of the year. And everyone saw that signing as, he's long in the tooth. Is he really going to do more than 2 years here anyway? And the Sabres kind of put together a plan, almost like Seth Appert's this coach in waiting sort of thing, by bringing him up from Rochester, making him the primary assistant to Lindy Ruff. It seems like the Sabres are acutely aware that Lindy Ruff was not going to be long for this. And that's why Kekalainen might not be committal to him, because of the fact that, well, Lindy probably doesn't have much time to do this. And if that's the case, I might want to get started now.
Yeah.
A move has not been made yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem like there's already something, like reading the tea leaves. You can kind of see some of these things. Even on the complete outside. Sometimes you're wrong, but the speculation can always be there.
803-0550, the number to call. You want to jump on, give your thoughts on what we heard from yesterday and today from new Sabres general manager Jarmo Kekäläinen. We'll also get to the Bills as well, coming up in about 15 minutes. Sal Capaccio will join the show. The Bills are back at practice today. They do sign a kicker yesterday, officially, Michael Badgley, of course, with Matt Prater going down with a quad injury. They literally had to do that. Real quick, though, last thing for me on the Sabres situation and all that. I'm excited. I'm happy they made the move. I will say, though, there is other things that have to be done. It's not the most worrying situation that they could be in. Like, for me, the thing I was most scared about was that Adams wouldn't actually leave the organization. He would just be moved into a different role, and that ultimately everything would stay the same. Like, realistically, you could look at from the outside and go, yeah, nothing's changed. And while that's not totally true here, we have mentioned it. They still have assistants on this roster that are from the Ralph Kruger days, or at least the Don Granato days. Lindy has realistically not even been able to hire much of his own staff. Lindy even is, I think, part of the problem where you're seeing a lot of the warts in his coaching style. And so, yeah, like there are still things that need to change. It's the early days. It's his first week. We haven't even actually played a game with Jarmo Kekäläinen as the general manager of the
Sabres. They don't play until tomorrow.
You know, they don't play again until tomorrow. And they are on a three-game win streak. Like, they're not totally dead or out of it. And so I'm excited going forward, but it is a middle-of-the-season GM hiring. Like, there's only so much I can really expect. That's why I've also mentioned I'm frustrated that Adams is even given half a year. I equated a lot to NFL teams with head coaches, where you draft the quarterback in the first round, and yet you will fire what we all knew was dead man walking coach midway through the year, thus probably botching the development of your rookie quarterback and setting your franchise back 5 years. I think in part because you just kind of didn't want to make the hard decision, or you allowed probably a charlatan to convince you to keep them another 6 months, which is not even a really good, you know, sale case if they came and make it another year. And it's not to say Adams is a charlatan or anything like that. I'm putting that in grandiose terms of
around sports.
Yeah, why are you still here when I'm going to fire you in 6 months? Why even go through that process? Is it all just, I don't want to pay you that extra 6 months of money to not work here? Maybe. Fine. If that's your reasoning, that's your reasoning. I don't love it. You're an owner. You're probably a billionaire. But it is what it is. But now Kekäläinen's got a lot to figure out, whether it be the Tuck situation, the three-goalie situation, or the fact that they are second to last in the East. I'm curious, and I'm, you know, in some ways excited to see how it goes. They play again tomorrow, 7:30, at home against Philadelphia. Hell, half of the thing I'm most excited about is just to see what that crowd is like tomorrow night. Because this crowd, at times this year, has been very good. It's also been a very hostile crowd. Paul has talked about that not that long ago.
You and I were
sell
there.
The team and fire Adams talks were loud and clear, but there's also been moments where that place is jumping for joy on a Tuesday night.
Right. You and I were there, though, that Black Friday game against the New Jersey Devils, where the Fire Adams chants are as loud as they had ever been, so much so that the broadcast picks it up pretty cleanly.
Oh, yeah.
And you, me, Joe, and Owen, we were all sitting in the press box that day, and we all noticed it, noticing how loud it was. The Fire Adams chance. Lo and behold, a couple games later, they start their road trip, and it starts abysmally. If the plan was really in place based on the results of the road trip, well, guess what? The first three games, it looked like it was not going to stop. And it was going to look like another one of those, oh, Kevin Adams at the tenure for another lengthy losing streak. The team does figure it out quite dramatically with Edmonton having a 3-0 lead and then almost collapsing that within an entire period. And then they score in overtime just to make sure they don't lose the game. But now, yeah, it's good though that it's good in a way that resolve stayed true. You thought you were going to do this. Three games of winning in a row did not change your mind. It's done and it's over with. I am happy that the resolve stayed. I also don't think you would have been able to sell to fans, oh, we won our third game in a row. Everything's clearly on the up and up with Adams. I don't think anyone's buying it at that point. That's where it really gets to me is you've had the better part closer to 6 years. Sometimes it's just not going to happen, and that's how it is. Honestly, I think 5 years is an acceptable amount of term for an NHL general manager. You start to see their products begin to work or not work. We've seen some of Jason Botterill's picks make late contributions after his dismissal, right? Matthias Samuelsson has become a little bit of this, like, extreme case of high variance, mm-hmm. where he's either fantastic or, example like last year, people can't wait to get him off the team. But that is a Bottrell draft pick. Tage Thompson emerging into his own, that is a Bottrell acquisition from the Ryan O'Reilly trade. Or, you know, like, that's the sort of thing. Ryan Johnson, if he ends up being an NHLer, that's a Bottrell pick. You see general managers have late contributions after their dismissal, and that's why Tim Murray always upset me. There wasn't many of those. The man got dismissed, and none of his draft picks except for, I'm thinking, what, Victor Olsson?
Yeah.
And then Will Borgen, who gets taken with an expansion pick.
Yeah.
Those are Murray's draft picks that make the roster after he's fired. Cool. Bottrell, a couple of them show up. And a couple of them to frustrating degrees. Like, Luukkonen is a Bottrell draft pick, and I think people are done. Cousins is jettisoned out. Mittelstadt was already traded. Like, but those are players that started playing more and more under Kevin Adams. I will be curious to which Adams draft picks that are not in the NHL right now do show up post-dismissal. And that's one of the things that he's been lauded for, actually, is the draft acumen of the scouting department.
Building up the prospect pool, and is it, you know, actually the number one overall one? I mean, he got rid of one of the guys, and it has worked out well. Savoy for McLeod. Austin looks very good. Isak Rosén seems to be a bit of a tweener, but, you know, we'll see as well. Devin Levi, I mean, if he comes up and is, in fact, their goalie of the future, like you mentioned, I mean, that's an Adams acquisition. We'll see. It's just, I mean, Kekalainen even mentioned this, you know, in years past, it was like 5 to 8 years before you really got to see some of these draft picks
and
come
that's,
in.
That's
it's
why
sort
Tim
of the
Murray,
same with these GMs of their acquisitions. It takes a little while.
That's why Tim Murray's tenure always upset me, because we didn't get much of the ripple effect afterward, because he was such a poor drafter.
Yeah, he really was. We'll see more on the Sabres tomorrow night when they host Philadelphia. Bills, though, also in action this weekend. They're taking on the lowly Cleveland Browns. A bit of a lost season for them this Sunday at 1 in Cleveland. Always a stadium I kind of wanted to visit, mainly because it was close, but also I feel that kindred, you know, brothership with the Lake
Vibe
Erie.
The vibe probably feels similar.
Yeah, but it's like the Lake Erie teams. Like, you know, you always kind of want to see those teams. And then, you know, this week, Derek, we got a few storylines. I mean, I call them the lowly Cleveland Browns. They are. They're a dreadful football team. Kind of only due to their offense. The defense is incredible. Myles Garrett is a sack away from tying Michael Strahan's all-time single-season sack record at 22.5. He's at 21.5. He has had a sack, or registered at least a sack, in every game since October 8th. So he's on an incredible pace. I mean, he's still got 3 games left. Like, he's almost definitely going to get the record unless something drastic happens. And then, of course, and no matter how you feel about it, it is still a storyline to keep an eye on. Shedeur Sanders is starting, and, you know, Derek, it's weird with Sanders. I haven't actually been able to sit down and watch a lot of him playing in Cleveland, really outside of the preseason. Many times it's because the Bills are playing at the same time and we're focusing on that. But a lot of times games start on TV. Like, there's just no way. But I'll see, like, a throw or two of his every game where I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, that's why he should have been drafted. Again, quarterback's a weird position. Once you get out of the second round, there kind of becomes not a point to really draft one until, like, the 6th or 7th. And I mean that honestly. Like, if those guys are not going to start, you're sort of wasting an asset on a player and a position that could start, even in the 4th or 5th round their rookie year. And then you add in everything, you know, off the field with him and his dad, the distractions of your backup quarterback. I've gone through that, you know, endlessly. But then I look at his stat lines and I'm like, oh, like, there's no way that was good. The throws look great. The stat line is terrible.
But
so
then
I'm,
you see
I'm
one like, of the interceptions, for example. It
right.
bounces off of Jerry Jeudy.
Right. But, like, I'm kind of into watching them. Like, the Bills are a 10-point favorite. The only other line that is bigger this week is Houston hosting the Raiders. They're at 14.5. The Raiders had 75 yards last week against Philadelphia. I have no idea what they can even muster against that Houston defense. But, like, I want to watch Shador. Like, I'm really into it. I think the Bills will win this one somewhat comfortably. That defense is still a bit of a struggle, and the Bills have had moments this year where they have dipped down to their competition's level. But, like, that's one of the things I really want to watch is, like, okay, like,
how good, quote-unquote, is Shadur? How bad is he? Do they really need to look for a quarterback? Harold Fanning as well. They've got a rookie tight end out of Bowling Green that's really good. Judkins, the running back of Ohio State. Carson Schwechinger on defense. Like, I don't know. Cleveland's such a weird team for me. I like a bunch of their young players.
It's an impressive rookie class. Yeah. And they spent two picks on a quarterback class that's not good.
Right. And so, like, I'm at this, like, weird, like, impasse with them where I'm like, I love what you're building. But, like we mentioned, you know, the coach that gets half a year and is fired when they get a rookie quarterback. What are they going to do with Kevin Stefanski? Are they going to go into this draft class, draft a quarterback, and then fire him afterwards?
Not just Stefanski. Andrew Berry, the architect of the Deshaun Watson trade and contract extension that is holding this team back. So that's going to be something that we can look at a little bit more in extension. Well, Sal Capaccio coming on next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But also, don't forget, let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. You might fumble it because the contest ends January 4th of 2026. That's less than a month away, everyone. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence. Powering tomorrow, comforting today. Sal Capaccio on the other side here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Capaccio filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Radio 550.
The Bills make me wanna shout. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You heard the music. You know the man's coming up here on the Western Hotline. But first, before we get to that, some breaking news. I think within like the last minute or so, Jeremy and Joe, right at the end of their show, they admitted they got on a report that Tua Tagovailoa was being benched in favor of quarterback Quinn Ewers.
It was
in reality. They were just a little bit early, or at least the got tweet was a little early.
It was Howell.
It was
concussion protocol.
Concussion protocol. No.
No, the man just got benched.
It is straight up. Ian Rapoport, Adam Schefter, this is the tweet. Dolphins are benching starting quarterback Tua Tagovailoa and starting rookie quarterback Quinn Ewers against the Bengals. Well. We'll see how that goes.
Zach is giddy.
I'm giddy in weird reasons. With that, we'll bring on Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. Sal, we'll get to Bills Browns here in a minute, but just right off the bat, that news, Tua being benched by the Dolphins in favor of Ewers.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I think back over the last couple of years, how everything's gone down with Tua. You know, you feel bad for him, the situation he's been in with his concussions, and then, you know, it just seems like he's regressed. Sorry about that. He's regressed as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they haven't had the strongest offensive lines. And they're in a position where they already fired their general manager. And I think their coach is very much in question if he's coming back. They're out of the playoffs. But what really sets it apart here is that contract.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do beyond him. Like, you could move on from him and eat the money and just say, we're just gonna know that we're not going to have that money to spend next year. Like Denver did with Russell Wilson. You could do something like that, right? No doubt about it. But I think that's what's really kind of, you know, the story going forward here about it, not just the benching, obviously.
I wonder, too, how much, I mean, this is going to be obviously a move that is made, you know, or thought about at least for a couple of weeks. It's not one, you know, throw or what have you. But I will say the pick against Pittsburgh kind of was the culmination or you know, the encapsulation of Tua's entire career. Arm not strong enough, in the cold, can't get it done.
Yeah.
And it just, it you know, for lack of a better term, it looked like a weak throw. It just did not look like he had any power on it, and that's a big reason why it's picked off.
Yeah, small quarterback who came in with not a ton of mobility, had a couple injuries. Eventually that catches up to you, I think, in the league. I really 100%. Do. I think that, you know, you can win. Baker's not the biggest guy in the world, right? I mean, you can win. There's no doubt. But I think eventually that kind of skill set, that kind of build, those things add up after a while. And when you don't fortify your offensive line, it just keeps getting tougher and tougher. And the Dolphins have always taken an approach, it seemed to me, to build the team from the outside in, meaning wide receivers and running backs before they really address their offensive line. I just don't think that that's conducive when you have a smaller quarterback in the NFL, especially. It's probably not the way to do it anyway, but, you know, teams, I mean, even Joe Burrow, look at, he's getting beat up because of this over his career. Now, they've been better this year, their offensive line, but you've seen what's happened to him. So he is due $54 million fully guaranteed next year, by the way.
Yeah, $54 million. What did the Broncos have to, or yeah, the Broncos had to eat? I think they had to eat about $50 million. So it's around the same, but man, oof.
You know, yeah, I think what this does is at least gives the organization an opportunity to evaluate Quinn Ewers. Mm. The other thing we never know about these things, guys, who really made the decision? Yeah, I mean, it could be Mike McDaniel announcing the decision. Was it him or was it Stephen Ross?
Yeah, I think absolutely. Now I wonder, too, what are they going to do with Mike McDaniel? Like, is this sort of a three-game tryout of like, all right, let's see what you look like with, you know, a quarterback. Yep. I watched a lot of Quinn Ewers. He is not an athlete by any means. That bad offensive line will hurt him, but he's got a much more lively arm than Tua. So, in a weird way, I'm very curious to see what the Dolphins look like, in part for, you know, the Texas fan in me. I want to see Ewers in the NFL and see how he succeeds, even if I had a love-hate relationship with him. But it'll be curious. But now to Bills-Browns. Another curious quarterback situation, and one that I'm excited to watch, Shedeur Sanders. They're not a good team, but I think Sanders is super fascinating.
Yeah, he is. He's, you know, he came into this league, obviously, with a very polarizing in a lot of different ways. And I always thought a lot of it was unfair, but sometimes I think he put a bunch of it on himself. What I mean by unfair is because of who his dad is and how he was always viewed through that prism. But he's also kind of not done himself any favors, right, for some of the ways that he's approached different things. And, you know, in the locker room and being like the mime. And I don't think he meant any disrespect, but it came off that way. But maybe not the best way to do it. But there's a lot of different ways there. You look at what he's done so far, you know, this season. He had a nice game against the Tennessee Titans when he threw for 364 yards. In that game, though, he still completed less than 55% of his passes. Guys, I mean, his completion percentage, he did complete 64 against San Fran. You go back to the games that he's played, though, the games that he's started, 55, 64, 54.8, 51.4 last week. He's threw three interceptions last week. On the season, he has, what, three, four, five, six interceptions, five touchdowns. Still a man learning on the job, kind of. This is a opportunity for the Bills to really get after a young quarterback, confuse him. I would anticipate the Browns would really want to run the ball against the Bills. They have a good young running back. I was thinking today, what happened to that like amazing Cleveland Browns offensive line from a couple of years ago?
Yes. You know what
I mean, like they were just so amazing. And they're just like they're not the same unit they used to be. I know that some injuries. I understand that, but like, what a far cry from where we were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Sal, when it comes to the Bills on the defensive side of the ball, Christian Benford missed last week. I know that Sean McDermott did obviously say something about it on Monday of, you know, the introductory stuff, but we will get our first look at the injury report from practice this afternoon.
Yeah, so remember I told you guys last week, I think what we're doing now is every Wednesday will be a walkthrough.
Yep.
They've done that the last few years, so today will be a walkthrough. So it'll be an estimation on the injury report. What would the player be if it had been a full practice? And then usually, not always, Thursday is kind of no change other than the fact that we've had guys injured from Wednesday to Thursday. Right? I mean, then it does happen. But so if Sean McDermott tells us in about a little over an hour from now, if he tells us that Christian Benford's going to be limited today, I think it's a really good sign. That means that they're probably expecting him to be limited tomorrow during a full practice. Now, limited doesn't mean he has to play. There is an argument to be made. Okay, you just guys brought up Shedeur Sanders, that passing game. Do you put Christian Benford on a cold field in Cleveland on Sunday? Do you play him in a game where you think, you just went against Drake May and the Bengals, and you did a really good job with the guys you have. Do you play him? Or, hey, if he's healthy, he plays, right? I think there's a good argument for that to be made. Now, that said, one thing you have to keep in mind, Dane Jackson is out of elevations. The Bills have only three boundary cornerbacks on their roster. If Christian Benford can't play or they elect not to play him in whatever capacity, I don't know what the option is other than elevating to Corey Couch at this point.
Right, because obviously Jamarcus Ingram not on the team, Darius Slay did not report, and there is there's a little bit of questions on what they do there. They also, I do believe, they waived MJ Devonshire from the practice squad as well.
They did, and you know what? That could be a nice sign for Christian Benford.
Yes, it could. That could
be. So Christian Ben, it could be I'm glad you brought that up. Maybe that's an indicator they won't need the extra guy on the depth chart this week across the board because they're feeling good about Christian Benford. We'll see it today though a little bit more.
Staying on the injuries, Sal. Obviously, Matt Prater not going to be in this week. Michael Badgley going to be the kicker for the Bills after they held a tryout with him, and I think it was Matthew Wright that I saw.
Yeah, Matthew Wright had been a part of the Bills earlier this year, maybe training camp. Like, you know what I mean? He came in a little bit earlier this year and kicked a little bit. Wasn't signed. Excuse me. Now you have Michael Badgley who comes in, and Badgley's got a pretty strong leg. He's a free agent for a reason, right? He's been a bit inconsistent in his career. His field goal percentage is only 83% on the season. Now this year he's hitting at 90%. Let me just look how many field goals he's had though. Field goal attempts this year. Well, he's 10 of 11 this year. He was 10 of 11 with the Indianapolis Colts. So a little bit of a sample size there, not ton. So a guy that they feel that, you know, can come in and right away, you know, kind of just seamlessly, you know, get in. He's a 10-year veteran. He's been in the league, you know, seven years, I guess. So, you know, a guy that probably you feel a little better in a situation like this, a little colder, not knowing the people you're around, and you can kind of, it's the same thing they do with guys that they're familiar with. Now, maybe there's no kicker they're necessarily familiar with, but let's get a guy in here that has kind of seen it before. We can seamlessly bring him in. Interesting on that, too, when it comes to the roster, they only signed into the practice squad, guys. So is that also an indication that they believe that Matt Prater is going to be ready after a game or two where they only have to elevate Badgley three times? There's only three games left. They can elevate Badgley three different times before putting him on the active roster, obviously. So there's some roster decisions and gymnastics that kind of have to be made, but maybe we'll get an indication what that is. They have until 4 p.m. on Saturday to either elevate him or sign him to the 53.
It does feel like a lot of this year, Sal, the Bills have had to do a lot of these roster gymnastics just due to injuries. So they've gotten practice up to this point. This is not a new issue for them. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I think it is fair to bring up that, I mean, they could just do this with Badgley the rest of the way for the regular season and then see, you know, where they're sitting at. Because Prater, you know, before he picks up an injury, it wasn't every game, but it did feel like we were starting to see like a missed PAT every other game. I think the shine on Prater had washed off a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's fair to bring up. I think he's been pretty consistent this year. It's funny, I just told you that Badgley is 90% on the season. You know what Prater is? 90%.
Yeah.
And he's kicked exactly twice as many field goals. Matt Prater is 18 of 20. Badgley is 10 of 11 this year. So it's really interesting. Well, I guess a little less than half, I should say. But, you know, it is interesting. You're right. Extra points on the season. He's missed three. They've all seemed to come. He's come a couple of them over the last several weeks. Didn't one come in Houston on Thursday night?
I think that's right.
Yes.
And that was a big deal because it kind of changed the flow of the game, the way the game went and the score. So, you know, those are important. I agree. I still think, you know, the Bills would love to have Matt Prater available. He's done a really nice job for them this year. He's been consistent. But I agree that, like, there's been a couple here and there. What we don't know, too, Zach, is has the quad injury been lingering? Is that something he's been fighting through, which might be a reason for some of these?
No, absolutely. It was a little bit eye-opening that, you know, McDermott, when speaking with you in the media earlier this week, mentioned that he'd only found out that day about the quad injury. But that also could just be he just found out that it's going to hold him out of a game, not that it had been lingering.
Sure, sure.
We have no idea. Real quick, Sal, I do want to talk about the defense for the Bills and mainly the second half adjustments. We can push that to tomorrow because also on the defense for the Cleveland Browns, a record could be broken on Sunday. Miles Garrett only needs a sack to tie Michael Strahan. If he gets a sack and a half, he will break that single season record. And he's registered at least a sack in every game since October 8th. The pace he has been on such a bad team has been incredible.
Really is what he needs, a sack and a half, right?
Yep.
He needs a sack and a half. Do you guys remember when Strahan broke it? Like, were you old enough to remember that?
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you about that as well. How irritated would you be, or would it even register for you, if
Allen pulled a Brett Favre and just kind of fell down and let Garrett get the sack.
Yeah, I can't see that happening.
Can't either.
But yeah, you know, you think about I can't. You know why? There's three games left here.
Right.
Favre did it in the final game, and like there wasn't much time left, if I remember. So he kind of gave it to him, Strahan. Mm-hmm. Right. That's not going to happen here. I can't make like, hey, dude, you can get it in the next 2 weeks. You're not getting against me. We need to win a game here, right? We're trying to win a game to win a to get to the playoffs. So I can't imagine that happening. I think though that it is interesting that when that happened, Michael Strahan, Brett Favre, you know, and then that created the whole. I'm sure you guys have seen Mark Gastineau kind of went after Brett Favre at a convention because it was Gastineau's record that Strahan broke, and there was a big deal about it. And I grew up watching Mark Gastineau, and he had the original record for many years until Michael Strahan brought it. Well, anyway, to your question about Myles Garrett. So Deion Dawkins has said many times he is the toughest player for him to block in this league. And I mean, you can understand why, but he's very open about it. He has so much respect for him. Could it happen? Sure, it could happen. I could see it happening this weekend. I think the Bills will do whatever they can to not let it happen, but part of that is play your game, run the ball, be balanced. Don't put Josh in those situations where those things could happen this week, where Myles Garrett could tee off. But they're going to be very aware. It's no different than playing TJ Watt. It's no different than playing, you know, the guys that against Houston. And I know those guys got off a little bit, but you're going to have a game plan for everybody here. You're right. I'm looking at his ledger. I mean, he had 1, 2, 3 games in the middle of the season where he did not have a sack, and then that was it.
Yeah.
2, 1.5, and then 0.5, 0, 0, 0, and then 1, 5, 1, 4, 3, 1, 1, 1.5. It's crazy.
It's unbelievable. And you know, it is crazy, Sal, too. I mean, with how good their defense is, because it's not just him. I mean, Carson Schwechinger, I think, is the favorite to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. Mason Graham has been very, very good in the interior of the defense. You would think some of these performances by Garrett, the 5-sack one against New England, would lead to wins, and instead many of these games have been blowouts. It's just... it's incredible, and sort of, you know, it encapsulates Garrett's career. He is going to be undoubtedly a first-ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest Cleveland Browns of all time, and yet there was only a sliver of time there where the Browns were good and in the playoffs while he was also at the peak of his powers.
Yeah, and you're right, by the way, about, you know, their defense. I mean, the Cleveland Browns rank 3rd in total yards given up. They rank 14th in rushing yards, but only 6th in rushing yards per play. And they're number 1 in the league in passing yards per game allowed. Number 2 is the Bills. number 2 is the Bills. It's kind of interesting to watch that. But I think it's because their offense is so bad, mm-hmm. and it has been all year. They're literally 30 or 32nd in almost every major category. It doesn't matter what their defense is doing. It's like their defense almost has to score. They have to win low-scoring games, like they did against Green Bay. Remember that?
I was gonna bring up Green Bay. I'm like, the defense kind of won that game. Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They did score 29 against Tennessee. Shadur had a nice day. They scored 24 against the Las Vegas Raiders. 31, it looks like, against Miami. Other than that, they had not scored over 20 points in any other game this season.
Just incredible. Just incredible. Their only offensive stat, by the way, if they're not 29th or 30th, is time of possession. They're 22nd.
It's wild.
Oh, it's incredible. All right, Sal, we'll let you get out of here, get you ready for practice, and we'll talk again tomorrow. Thanks for jumping on with us, man.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. Before we hit our next timeout, listen to Show Up in the Bulldog all week for your chance to win a $100 Woodhouse Spa gift card, courtesy, of course, by Woodhouse Spa on Main Street in Williamsville. Woodhouse makes it simple to give the perfect gift for your with their curated holiday packages, everything from deep tissue massages to hot stone treatments and incredible facials. Visit WoodhouseSpa.com. We've got primetime players coming up at 11. I know many of you have also been asking for reverse AFC power rankings. We've had a lot to do. The Sabres made a lot of moves. We had to push some stuff
back. We had to shuffle deck chairs.
But primetime players coming up in just under 15 minutes. 803-0550 as well, the number if you want to jump on and give your thoughts. We're free the rest of the way. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR. Hour number one, wrapping up here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 803-0550, the number to call. You want to jump on, give your thoughts on Bills-Browns coming up on Sunday. We're going to get our first injury reports in just a little bit. We've also got, of course, all of the Sabres news. Jarmo Kekäläinen spoke with the media yesterday. He spoke with Jeremy and Joe today. You want to hear back any of that if you did miss it on the Odyssey app or on our website, WGR550.com. But some big NFL news, if you didn't miss it, right at the top of our spot with Sal, Tua Tagovailoa has been benched by the
Miami Dolphins. It is not due to any injury or anything like that. He has just flat out been benched in favor of rookie Quinn Ewers out of Texas. Zach Wilson is going to serve as the backup. And so, you know, where
that's
do you go
to pay
now?
Attention to for the Bills fans here too, because
That's
a Week 18 opponent for New England for the right to the division. Really, the Bills went out. You need this game.
And now it's going to be a rookie. Now, ultimately, it could be a rookie. They also could just go to Zach Wilson in the final game, what have you.
Oh,
yours, my though, God. I know. Yours, though, could look good. I have no idea how it's going to go. I just, for me, now having watched Denver really figure it out fast, post the Russell Wilson stuff, it did help that they'd already had draft picks on defense that happened to all really get good at the same time. They hire Sean Payton. That's going to help. A lot had to go also right for them to be able to eat all that money and bounce back as
quickly
as they have.
But also having the picks and the arsenal from the Russell Wilson trade.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, they gave those things away. Never mind. So they actually were working with a detriment.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
The opposite end.
No, that's right.
I thought of Seattle for a second. No, yeah, it's good drafting. Miami has not had that to a point that they fired said general manager.
Right, and that's where a lot of draft experts that I follow were. I mean, I've bemoaned the lack of the Waddle trade for the Bills side of things. I saw all of draft Twitter bemoaning it because what do you mean you're not taking another 2027 first round pick? That draft class, albeit 2 years from now, well, you know, about a year and a half from now, is expected to be loaded. Again, it's expected. Things change. Look at the quarterback class just in this year and in years prior. But everyone was like, guys, it's going to be a class with guys like Jeremiah Smith and all of these quarterbacks like Arch Manning and stuff like, what are you doing? Just take the pick and move off a Waddle. You're not going anywhere here. I do wonder now, again, if that trade could be on the board. He is a wide receiver, and we just talked with Sal about how poorly they constructed this team. They built from the outside in, and it has been a detriment to them. Where the Bills, to their credit, have built from the inside out. They got the quarterback. They made sure they secured the offensive line. They've tried desperately and have missed a lot of it, but at times they've also hit it. They've tried to get that defensive line right. And while I think they've ignored the wide receiver position too much, you can also argue to the other side of things, the Dolphins, they valued all the speed and all the offensive flash too much. And now when a game does get below 40 degrees, or realistically they're just not at home, they struggle mightily. I think this could have worked, though, if they picked somebody like Herbert. I don't think they would have had nearly the problems they have. I think Tua really does limit what they're able to do. I'm really into kind of how this all goes now. I wonder.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
If Mike McDaniel is kind of coaching for his job, trying to quote-unquote prove it when he doesn't have Tua, but I've also kind of gotten after McDaniel in terms of the offensive guru. When he's had backup quarterbacks, that offense is garbage.
Yeah,
and I like McDaniel.
And you've also been on the on a little bit of the train of, if he is ultimately let go for Miami, why not bring him here?
Oh, I want Miami to fire him so bad. I hate saying that because it's a man's career, the whole thing. But I want them to fire him to bring him here. I want.
It's not like you're asking him to be out of a job. Right. You're actually trying to help get him a job.
I'm trying to get him a job. And I want, and this is a lot of it is a college basis as well. For many head coaches in college, it is the staff they bring in. That's many times the most important thing. And I think that's really where McDermott has missed horribly in these last few years is the internal elevations, whether it be literally all three major special teams or coordinator categories, special teams, offensive, or defensive. The internal elevations have not worked. And so for me, I look around and go, Mike McDaniel, runs a West Coast offense. The Bills have kind of really worked with that, with more of the, you know, balance run attack. I think James Cook would love to have McDaniel add a little bit of speed, what have you. I'd like that. Or Raheem Morris for defensive coordinator. Atlanta. They get these head coaching jobs for a reason.
Even Jeff Ulbrich from Atlanta. Ulbrich, yep. I'm perfectly happy with that one, too. Ready to take your game day to the next level? Enter online now at WGR550.com for your chance to win a $300 tailgate tray certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans. Each Friday, a winner will be announced during Football Friday with Shelton Bulldog. Fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations.
Primetime Players coming up after this timeout. It's a little bit late. I know. We're going to get to it, though. That's coming up next here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.